All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our June 9th, 2025 Rules Committee meeting. I am your Chair, Supervisor Shimon Walton, joined by Vice Chair Supervisor Cheryl. We will soon be joined by our Board President and also a member of this committee, Raphael Mandelman. This morning, our clerk is Victor Young, and I want to thank Kalina Mendoza from SFGov TV for broadcasting this meeting and making sure it is available to the public. Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcements this morning?
Yes, public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Rules Committee Clerk, at victor.young@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will also be included as part of the file. You may also send written comment via U.S. mail to our office at City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, Room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Documents to be included as part of the file should be submitted to the clerk. Items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors' agenda of June 17th, 2025, unless otherwise stated. That completes my initial announcements.
Thank you. Would you please call item number one?
Item number one is a motion approving or rejecting the mayor's nomination of Gail Cernstrain for appointment to the Historic Preservation Commission, term ending December 31st, 2028.
Thank you, and I believe Gail is here this morning. If you would please come up to the microphone and take up to about 2 minutes just to tell us about why you want to serve, your qualifications, et cetera.
Thank you. Your Honors, Chair Supervisor Walton and Vice Chair Supervisor Cheryl, and hopefully also Supervisor President Mandelman, thank you very much for the opportunity to come before you. My name is Gail Chen Strang, and I would like to express my interest to be of public service to the communities of San Francisco in the capacity of confirmed on the Historic Preservation Commission. I've lived and worked in San Francisco for over 32 years. My husband and I chose to raise a family here, and our two grown children now, too, also live and work in San Francisco, and they're fourth-generation San Franciscans. I'm an architect, and currently I work in the federal judiciary, overseeing the portfolio of the Ninth Circuit courtrooms and judicial spaces in matters of facility and security design. And prior to this, I was an associate principal and a senior project manager for the San Francisco office of Skidmore, Owings, and Merrill, an architecture firm, where I was a leader in the sectors of higher education and multifamily residential design. Many of my projects touched on preservation, but to highlight, my projects ranged from the recently completed renovation in addition to a student center in the historic core of the UC Berkeley campus. And also, it ranges also to the 512-unit, 42-story multifamily residential tower here in San Francisco, otherwise known as 500 Folsom, located at Folsom and First. Of my work, some of the most meaningful include preservation, because those are the projects that honor the legacy of historic resources and exemplified successful adaptive reuse and redevelopment that helped to perpetuate meaningful use and sustainability. While at SOM, I worked with the San Francisco Art Institute at that time in existence to develop a master plan for its Chestnut Street campus. My team developed strategic interventions to integrate seismic upgrades and critical accessibility within the historic Italianate hillside designed by Arthur Brown, and with its 1950s Corbusian addition by Pafford Keating Clay. In 2015, ACT opened the renovated Strand Theater on Market Street. I was the project manager, the architectural project manager, and I saw day to day to its transformation that led to that opening, whether it had to do with entitlements with a mitigated neg deck for the structurally and programmatically required alterations, supporting its tax credit and financing and the development of technical details for the compliance to the U.S. Secretary of Interior standards for historic preservation. It's a design that transforms the boarded up vaudeville movie theater into a 285-seat spoken word theater that opens its lobby to Market Street like an urban living room, activating the street and bringing the arts. Finally, I wanted to also mention that I served on the Board of Trustees for Children's Day School, a preschool through eighth grade program located directly across from the Mission Dolores Church. And as the vice chair for that, I and my fellow trustees balanced the school's growth needs with the institution's fiduciary and its very identity of being sited within the Mission Dolores Neighborhood Historic District on lands that were part of the Mexican land grant to the church and a recognized archaeological site. So I'll just kind of close with that. That's a lot of my history. But balancing preservation and growth is personal for me. As the homeowner and the restoration architect for historically significant residence designed by the modernist Richard Neutra, I would bring a keen appreciation for both the value of what great care and preservation rigor contributes to our city's history, while allowing these treasures to be genuinely livable. It would be a meaningful endeavor, indeed, for me to serve on the Historic Preservation Commission and lend a voice to honoring the legacy and richness of our city's historic resources and recognizing thoughtful adaptive reuse and promoting legacy businesses as part of meeting some of the city's greatest needs. Thank you.
Thank you. And I do have a question. Just how would your professional experience allow you to advance the work of the commission?
My professional experience is in having worked with projects that have had to go through CEQA processes, as well as the actual sort of technical development of details that would comply with the Secretary of Interior standards.
Thank you. I don't see any questions from my colleagues, so we will go to public comment on this item.
Yes. Members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on this matter? There are no commenters.
Thank you. Seeing no public speakers, public comment is now closed. And I would like to make a motion striking, rejecting, replace with approving, and sending this to the board with recommendation.
Yes. On that motion, Vice Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Mandelman, absent. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. The motion passes without objection, with Member Mandelman being absent.
Thank you. Motion carries. Congratulations. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 2.
Yes, item number 2 is ordinance amending the administrative code to revise eligibility criteria for the San Francisco Homicide Reward Fund, including to allow the chief of police in the chief's discretion to approve payment of a reward when information leads to the filing of criminal charges, whenever or not the charges result in conviction, to prohibit denial of a reward on the basis of information provider's request to remain anonymous, to prohibit denial of a reward on the basis of an information provider's arrest or criminal history, to require that a person seeking a reward provide information voluntarily and not as part of a plea bargain, and to assure that a reward is not paid to a person for the provision of false information.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. And I believe we have Dominica here from Supervisor Dorsey's office.
Good morning, Chair Walton and Vice Chair Cheryl. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today on behalf of Supervisor Matt Dorsey, who is proud to author this legislation to reform and modernize San Francisco's Homicide Reward Fund. When the board established the reward fund in 2016, the goal was clear: to incentivize cooperation and help solve murders by offering financial rewards for tips. But the reality is that the promise has been paid, Not a single reward has been paid in more than a decade. That's not because the need isn't there, but because the current policy makes it nearly impossible for tips to qualify. This legislation was inspired by the persistent, courageous advocacy of Paulette Brown, whose 17-year-old son, Aubrey Abercasa Jr., was murdered in 2006 and remains unsolved. Ms. Brown has shown up at police commission and board of supervisors meetings for years, calling attention to the failures of this program and fighting for change, not just for her son, but for every family who's waiting for justice. The ordinance before you would fix the structural issues that have made the fund ineffective. It would allow rewards to be paid when information leads to the filing of charges, not just convictions. Enable anonymous tipsters to receive rewards while protecting their confidentiality. Remove the blanket ban on individuals with criminal records from being able to provide tips. And ensure that no reward is issued for knowingly false information. The supervisor believes that these are common sense updates that bring our policy in line with what will actually help bring people forward and close cases. This legislation also reflects the recommendations of the San Francisco Police Commission, which unanimously passed a resolution urging these changes late last year. Ultimately, this is about restoring faith in a tool that should be helping us solve cold cases, support grieving families, and bring long overdue justice to victims. We respectfully ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I don't see anyone on the roster, so we will go to public comment for this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
Good morning. I am feeling some type of way this morning. I'm feeling that this resolution will help solve unsolved homicides. As Ms. Dominica said that, you know, I've been coming to the Police Commission and Board of Supervisors for years. We're trying to request information for unsolved homicides. And as it's known that homicides haven't been paid out for a decade, I'm praying that this resolution passes today, not for just me and my son, but for mothers and fathers out there that are suffering in silence and self-medicating and dying of their children dying on the streets of San Francisco. My son died on the streets of San Francisco in District 5, lifeless, shot from a semi-automatic gun, 30 rounds of bullets left that gun, and all because he hollered out and said, run, trying to save the neighbors. Everybody ran, and guess who's left? My 17-year-old boy. So they turned the guns on him. There are several people out there that know who done this. It was seen. I bring the names with me, which I don't happen to show right now, but some other day. And I bring them all the time. They're down at the homicide detail, all these names and the pictures of the suspects. So I'm praying that this resolution will help bring cold cases like mine and others to justice so mothers like myself can heal. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any additional speakers for this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Thank you, seeing no additional speakers. Public comment is now closed. And I would like to make a motion to move this item forward to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman, absent. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection, with Member Mandelman being absent.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 3.
Yes, item number 3 is ordinance amending the administrative code to create the Valencia Street, Pier 39, Folsom Street, Ellis Street, Yosemite Avenue, and Hayes Valley Entertainment Zones, and Yerba Buena Lane downtown activation location.
Thank you so much, Mr. Clerk. And as you know, this item was continued because we added a couple of more areas in San Francisco as an amendment. And so we will go to public comment on this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this matter should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Richard Johnson, and I belong to a group called HV Safe. And I'm speaking today on behalf of this coalition of neighbors, small business owners, and policy advocates from Hayes Valley. You are in receipt of our letters and formal inquiries, and it represents a broad local coalition, and we've already sent in 2 weeks of emails to you about this issue. What we are contesting is we're saying it's procedural misconduct and neighborhood exclusion. This legislation was introduced in an unethical and exclusionary manner. Our neighborhood, home to over 9,000 residents, is one of San Francisco's most densely populated areas, was never notified. We learned through about this entertainment zone through a press stunt. No agenda language, no advance documents, no community meeting. That's not process, that's concealment. As I said, we're a group of over 9,000 residents, and we were not notified. And even in asking to be notified, we still were not notified of the process. And there's no public documents and no hearing. And for me, I have to say, I've done community activism for over 30 years in San Francisco. And I kind of find this interesting because in doing this, whenever it comes to the board to have to go against a supervisor, it's almost like a code blue where you defer to a supervisor as with their expertise. And in this case, I'm asking for equity and diversity of opinion because the supervisor is not being factual in all he's telling you. And if you're going to use your code blue, I say at least adhere to the standards of what that entails. And then telling to that is in a March meeting, there was a meeting with the Hayes Valley Small Business Association between them and also Supervisor Bilal. And at that time, he dropped the bomb of the entertainment zone. They were asked to be kept updated on it. And to this date, he still has not convened a meeting with that group to explain how he's saying this is going to benefit a merchant corridor. And
speaker time has elapsed.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any additional speakers on this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Thank you. Public comment on this item is now closed. And just before I make a motion, I would like to state for the record that this legislation actually affects several supervisorial districts across San Francisco. And this is something that a lot of members of community have deemed as important to highlight the great businesses that they have in their community. And this is something that I, for one, am 100% supportive of, as well as many of my colleagues. Mr. Clerk, I would like to make a motion that we move this item forward to the full board with positive recommendation.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. The motion passes without objection.
Thank you. This motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 4.
Item number 4 is an ordinance approving the amended airport surveillance technology policy governing the use of pre-security cameras and making regular findings in support of said approvals.
Thank you, and I believe we have Guy Clark representing the airport with us this morning.
Yes. Yeah, good morning, Chair Walton, Vice Chair Sherrill, and President Mandelman. Guy Clark, the IT compliance manager for the airport. This is the second amendment of the policy that we've Thank you, excuse me. There we go. Thank you. Thank you. The just to provide a reminder here, the pre-security camera policy is supporting the airport's mission and primary objective of safety and security. includes video management software and various camera technologies. The authorized use cases, in this case, the amendment did not, and that's critical in my note there, executing the amendment, there was no changes or updates to the core policy, so the four authorized use cases did not change from that perspective. The way the policy was originally, when it was originally approved and issued by the Board of Supervisors about 5 years ago, it was done with a core policy for all city departments with appendices for each of the departments, and that's the specific changes were made there for the airport. And I will provide those. The first change was mobile cameras for two areas, remote locations and also for traffic flow surveys. The facilities department, due to the cost and the unavailability of infrastructure, so power and or network connectivity out in a few remote areas of the airport, would like to acquire and install the remote cameras. They're similar to what you see in construction sites, right, with the their wheeled units that get locked in place with the tower and solar power. For example, they want to put one out in the rent-a-car center by the fire station on North McDonald Road and the North Access Road from that perspective. And then the second use of mobile cameras, which was new to me and I found out when we were updating this, was for traffic flow surveys that the Airport Landside Operations Traffic Division does. They bring those out once or twice a year at key intersections and just kind of monitor traffic flow to see if they can improve that piece of it. Those cameras are then stored when not in use from that perspective. So we updated the policy with those as well. And then the last update was to the airport roadways traffic monitoring. The airport is establishing and implementing an airport integrated operations center, similar to what airports in Singapore and Hong Kong and a few others have. It's basically a giant, it's a center where there'll be representatives from various operational departments at the airport, staffing that pretty much 24/7. Giant video wall that monitors departures, arrivals of airplanes, the traffic flows in and around the airport, and also weather conditions. And so they've added, as you can see on the slide, five new cameras for the roadways and a couple other cameras, international terminal as well as the domestic terminals. That is the amendments to the surveillance technology policy.
Thank you so much, Mr. Clark. I don't see anyone on the roster, so we will go to public comment on item number 4.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to comment on this matter? There are no speakers for this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, we will close public comment. Mr. Clerk, I'd like to make a motion to move this item forward to the full board with positive recommendation.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you so much. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 5.
Item number five is ordinance approving amendments to the rules and regulations for the Neighborhood Beautification and Graffiti Cleanup Fund.
Thank you, and I believe we have Robin and Sophie from City Administrator's Office here to present this morning.
Good morning, Chair Walton, Vice Chair Sherrill, and President Mandelman. Thank you for the opportunity to speak with you today. I'm Robin Takayama. I run the Community Challenge Grants Program, also known as CCG and formerly known as the Neighborhood Beautification Grant. The program was passed by the voters in 1990 and is funded by businesses that opt in to direct a portion of their business taxes to the Neighborhood Beautification and Graffiti Cleanup Fund. CCG funds community-led neighborhood improvement projects that help make our neighborhoods more vibrant, resilient, and connected. Examples include public art. This is a mural and tile staircase in Glen Park. Small-scale infrastructure. This is a parklet that has become a community gathering space. And greening. Here, concrete is replaced with sidewalk gardens and trees in North Beach. Today, I'm asking for your approval to update the program's rules and regulations. The founding legislation requires that any change to the rules come through the board. After more than 30 years, they're due for a refresh. The legislation before you does just that. It brings CCG in line with the original voter intent, modern grant-making practices, and feedback from both community and city staff. The cleanup or updates include limiting eligible applicants to 501c3 nonprofits, clarifying this is a community fund and not for city departments, removing the outdated requirement for a financial match, which was creating unnecessary barriers, and removing preferences and administrative steps that aren't required by the original legislation. If these updates are approved, we'll be ready to release our next RFP. We've had to pause two funding cycles while we work through this process. We deeply appreciate the community groups, small businesses, and residents across San Francisco who have been waiting, preparing their ideas for neighborhood improvements. They're ready to improve their blocks, beautify their streets, and bring people together. This update gets us back to supporting that work. Help us plant the seeds for a more beautiful, connected San Francisco and approve the revised rules and regulations for CCG. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. I don't see anyone on the roster, so we will call for public comment on this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this matter, just line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who wish to make public comment? There's no public comment on this matter.
Thank you. Public comment is now closed. And I would just like to say that I am excited and happy that neighborhoods and communities are now going to have an opportunity again to receive community challenge grant funds. This is important to neighborhoods, and I know some of the amounts and the resources may seem small, but most certainly these are big for our neighborhoods, and a lot of folks in the community get excited about this opportunity. So it's good to see that we are to a point where we are coming back. I will say I wasn't aware that the opportunity was available to entities that were not 501c3s, but I am happy to see that that will be the case going forward. President Mandelman.
Thank you, Chair Walton. Thanks to the City Administrator's Office and everyone who's worked so hard through the challenges of this program. And I would like to be added as a co-sponsor.
Thank you, President Mandelman. Supervisor Sherrill.
Me too. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. You please make sure that I am added as a co-sponsor as well. And with that, I would like to make a motion to move item 5-4 to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill. Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 6.
Item number 6 is here to consider appointing one member, term ending October 8, 2026, to the Children's and Families First Commission.
Thank you so much, and I don't believe that the candidate is here this morning, and so I am going to ask after public comment that we continue item number 6. Mr. Clerk, we will go to public comment.
Yes, item members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this matter? There are no speakers on this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. I'd like to make a motion to continue item number 6 to the call of the chair.
On the motion, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 7.
Yes, item number 7 is here to consider appointing 2 members, terms ending March 1st, 2028, to the In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority.
Thank you, Mr. Clerk. And much like the last item, I don't believe we have any of the candidates here this morning. So after public comment, Good to see you here this morning. So we will call up LaWanna McAlpine, and please come up and tell us why you want to serve. And of course, thank you so much for being here with us this morning.
Good morning. My name is LaWanna McAlpine, and I work for IHSS Services. I would like to be a candidate to be on the board because I've been working for IHSS for over 15, 16 years. And I really just like working with the elders and the people that like to stay at home. My main concern is helping them. I speak for them, I work with them, I listen to them. A lot of them don't have family members that really care or that's there for them, and they're lonely. I literally have a client that I work with, and she just wants company. She wants somebody that's going to be there, that's going to help her. I go every day, I wash for her, and just sit there and just talk to her. She wants somebody that's going to be able to go back and tell her concerns. Like, I guess she had a provider that wasn't really interested in just working. She was just there for the money. But when I go, I sit up, I talk to her. I listen to her concerns, and she likes that. The on-call services, a lot of them I'm only there for 2 or 3 hours a day, and it's 3 days a week, and they enjoy the company. Their children has their own families, and some of them come visit, some of them don't, and they be lonely. But they don't want to go into a nursing home. They want to stay in their home where they're around their things, and they're happy. They enjoy having someone there to help them to be in their own home. So me being that person, I could go back and say, well, hey, this person needs this, this person needs that. If they get a permanent, this is what they want. This is what they're asking us to do. So being able to be that voice for the clients that we're working for, it makes me feel good, and then it makes the client feel good. Because I call and say, hey, this last provider didn't do this. The person said that I asked them to do that, and they said, no, I'm going to do it this way, so they wasn't getting what they wanted. I'm here to help them stay in their home so they don't have to go into a nursing home and don't have to worry about going and not being able to do what they can do. If they could get up and walk, I'm going to help them get up and walk. I'm going to help them bathe themselves. I'm going to ask them, what do you need me to do? I'm here to do what you want me to do. If you want me to just sit here and talk to you, fine. If you want to come in the kitchen and help me prep your food, let's go help prep your food. How do you want it done? If you want to get up and go to the store, let's go to the grocery store. If I go to the grocery store for them, I'll call them. What kind of seasoning do you want? What do you want in this? And then when I come back, they'd be like, oh, thank you. You really just involved me in what you're doing. And I love the program. So my biggest thing on being on this board is to be able to give the input on what the consumer is asking for.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any questions?
No questions, and appreciate you coming in and being willing to serve.
Thank you.
And Mr. Clerk, I believe that's the only candidate that we have present, so we will go to public comment for item number 7.
Yes. Members of the public who wish to speak on this item shall line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this matter? There are no members of the public who would like to speak on this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And I would like to make a motion to move forward, LaWanna McAlpine for seat 4, and we will address seat 9 at a future meeting.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Cheryl.
Aye.
Cheryl, aye. Member Bannerman.
Aye.
Bannerman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, do we have any other business before us this morning?
That completes the agenda for today.
Thank you. We are adjourned.